It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Paris, France, 1910, our past president, Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy. I heard that a long time ago. Actually, it was at a sales rally. An old boss of mine used to recite that whenever we were about to go into a sales meeting to try to get everybody riled up. And I always appreciated it. It always made me feel like a gladiator. Getting in ready to do battle, in the world of real estate. And it can be tough. If you're in sales or if you're thinking about a sales career, you gotta know that it's not an easy gig. It takes a long time and a lot of perseverance to make it happen. Those who are successful, they didn't become successful by chance. Nobody, more often than not, nobody handed shit to them. They went out there and got it. They walked, especially in real estate sales, they walked house after house after house in the heat, in the rain, in the sleet, in the snow, knocking on doors, getting doors slammed in their faces. They talk sheepishly with friends and family about the prospect of selling a home. They put themselves out there on the internet. They post YouTube videos. They spend money that they don't have to make things happen. They go to meetings and appointments where a lot of the time the answer is no, or they're outbid by a competitor who they know is they're better than, but who has a little bit more experience or who does some funny things to earn the listing. They are challenged by the fact that sometimes there's not a lot of houses to sell and the market goes up and down, and sometimes there's great feasts and then there's great famine. Real estate is not for the faint of heart. It's a tough gig. But those who make it, those who get through their first and second year of toil, which is typically what it takes, they stand actually to gain and to inherit a really nice career. And you would think, well, that's just real estate, but I believe that is for everything that you do for life. Anything that is worth having requires that you put yourself in the middle of a hurricane and you deal with the punches that come at you from left and right. The great stories, the people that are go on to be consequential in the world, if you ever read the majority of them, of what they had to go through, you'll know, and it's all relative, but you'll know that they stumbled a heck of a lot more than they succeeded. But nobody talks about the stumbles. At least they haven't been. I think that we are of a generation, we are now really starting to see the fact that there is virtue in the defeats, that there is virtue in the errors, that if it had not really been for those things, people would not be able to become what they become. For me, the reason why this is apropos or why I'm talking about it right now is because I'm about to start basketball season. Sixth and seventh grade boys, I'm coaching one team, and then eighth grade boys for our local middle school. And I see all of these, kids come out to try out. And they're so hopeful, and there is so much want in their eyes. They are, many of them, they're desperately trying to make this team. I had a young man who tried out last week for me, and we were running a weave, and somebody tossed the ball over his way. He just didn't happen to catch it at the right time, and it hit him right on the cheek, and he broke down. And A, I was very impressed by the rest of the boys who didn't like strike and who didn't laugh or who didn't like go after this young man. They understood, I think, what his pain was physically and emotionally, and they gave him a moment to breathe. I went over and I asked him if he was all right, and you can see that the more time that was passing, the emotion was starting to swell in him, and the tears were going to come. And all I could do was tell him, it's all right. You know, it's in sport, accidents and hurt does happen, but let's get you off the field. Let's have you sit down, take a second to collect yourself. And I didn't see weakness in him. He, truth be told, is not going to make it on the team. But he was there in the arena. He showed up. But I'm certain that, it's a possibility, a very high possibility that people told him, what the heck are you doing here? You don't have it. It's just you don't have the skill set. But it did not matter. That guy maybe went to the blacktop on a hot California day around a whole bunch of boys who are at varying degrees of skill, and many of them a heck of a lot better, and he showed up there with his cheer up face and still tried. And that is bravery. That's a young man who I think, if he keeps it up, will have a bright future, because he did not let the world around him stop him from at least trying. And I think that is one of the reasons why I enjoy coaching and have come back to coach year after year, is the fact that, and this is what I told my boys, sport is life and life is sport. I opened my tryout with, you reap what you sow. And I asked them what it meant. And many of these boys looked at me like I was from Mars. And I get it. I mean, I don't think a lot of coaches talk like that with them. And they don't recite poetry. They don't talk about a quote from a president long dead. But I do, because, again, these things that, like many of you who follow me, know that you may not get it now, but there'll be a day somewhere in the near or far future where you will come across something that you tossed away or who did not give any weight to, any gravity to back in the day, but then something triggers it and it snaps and it makes sense. And if these things have made my life richer, then why wouldn't I share them with a new generation? So yes, I start my tryouts with some type of quote, something that has given meaning to my life, and something that we can glean lessons from. Because, again, life is sport, sport is life. It reveals who you are. It's, and especially basketball, because it's so fast-moving, there's so many things going on at the same time, that at least at this age where these guys are starting to play, it reveals in those games, in those practices, who they are or who they will be. Some of them, even the biggest one, it always strikes me, they are the most emotionally challenged kids, because the bigger guys, sometimes I think people take for granted that they're big, and so they assume they can take it, and a lot of the times they can't. They're still kids inside, and their size is a weird kind of camouflage that the world sees and assumes that they got it. They have nothing to worry, and it's quite the opposite. And so a lot of them are very raw inside there. There's a lot of conflict and emotion that's going on within them that it comes out in basketball. Their tempers are all over the place. There's a lot of sweetness there. Some of them, that surefire cockiness that, you know, that they'll never get rid of is also there too. Some of them, they just know they're the shit, and you know what, that they are. That's also always interesting, because as a coach and as somebody who is, you know, who sees this as more than just, you know, five guys going up and down the court, It's yes, it's a very important thing, but there's also a way to wield that cockiness to make it useful versus something that will eventually hinder you in life. Then there are others who are true leaders. They just have a way about them where it does not matter what their size is. They just beckon respect, and the other guys on the team go to them and fall to them for guidance. They're the person, win or lose, who guides the team through a game. And sometimes it surprises you who those kids are going to be. And there's an entire other myriad of little characteristics, personal traits that come out in the game of basketball that I truly adore. But at the end of the day, that's what's always striking. And I guess maybe I'm a little sensitive about this, because right after I record this, I'm going to head over to the school and I'm going to be making cuts. And I feel kind of like a jerk about it, because I'm also going to be doing a lot of cuts on these boys on Halloween, which I don't know why that elevates things, but it's a holiday. Nobody likes to get bad news on a holiday. And I vacillated about, should I do it now? Should I wait a couple of days to do it? When would I do it? But the reality is that we have a season coming up here fairly soon. I had a truncated amount of time to really have tryouts, sometimes getting all of the right things in order for you to be cleared to coach is difficult because of bureaucracy things. But I have a truncated amount of time to have tryouts, and then I have a short time to prepare them, and then we go straight into the season. And time's a wasting, so I have to get into the arena and let them know these are the guys that are going to make it, these are the guys that are not. And I think, is it wrong for me to do it on a holiday? And then I realized that every single day around the world, it's a birthday, it's a holiday, it's a special occasion, and people still get bad news. And this, in the relative scheme of things, isn't the worst news that these guys are going to get. But again, life is sport. Sport is life. They can deal. Some of them will have to deal with a setback today, and that's okay. That's part of being in the arena, is that it's not always going to go your way. What does Teddy Roosevelt, who at best knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly? Yeah, I mean, it's not always going to be your way, but at least you know you tried. At least you know you were pursuing something that you wanted, and it just didn't happen to go your way today. But that doesn't mean you don't get to come back tomorrow or the day after, or to try your hand at something else. And so these lessons that basketball is teaching these boys, and that I get to be a conduit for, are valuable. So today is going to be a short one. I, like I said, I have to get my mindset and ready for a tryout. I want to thank everybody, truly, really, for all of the sharing of the podcast that you guys have been doing, the comments that I've been getting. It fills my heart to know that it's resonating. And I think I thank you guys every single time, but that's because I'm grateful every single time. Whenever you hear that you're resonating with other people, or that you're teaching them something that they didn't know before, that's for somebody that does this for a passion, because I have something to say, that's fantastic. So thank you for that. Also, I became a freelance writer this week. I've actually have a paid gig. Somebody's paying me for my words. And so that's, big news on my end. And also the anxiety and the weight of having to produce something and the work that I picked up, the person really thinks highly of my work. And so I worry a great deal that what I'm producing for this, for this company is going to be good enough. And so I'm going through the trials and tribulations in my head of having that anxiety of getting into the arena and trying it and hopefully succeeding because somebody is depending on this work. I also have accepted to be the MC at a pretty big gala here in the San Gabriel Valley in a couple of weeks, and so I am there too. Just added another layer of worry because every single time I'm going to speak in front of hundreds of people and MC an event, and also going to be in charge of a silent, I'm sorry, an auction. I always get worried and concerned about how am I going to come off? Is my accent going to be an issue? Will I be funny? Will people enjoy my performance? And I guess I figured they asked me to do it because I've done it before, so obviously they don't mind and they enjoy my shtick. But you know, it's craziness. So it's just all of these different layers of emotion that are going in there that I just keep on tacking on. And I would be remiss. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the fact that during the course of the last few days, today is December 31st, I mean, sorry, October 31st, 2018, over the course of the last few weeks, we've had, and again, another batch of shootings in this country. And we've had bombs that have been mailed to people. And let's put the politics aside for a second. You know, I whatever you happen to feel about your own personal politics, let's just put that to the side. There are less people in the world today than there were 2 weeks ago. And the reason why they are no longer here is because the fervor of our discourse has become so heated, so vitriolic, that a lot of people cannot see straight and they are acting out. And yes, there's a lot of mental illness that is going into these things, but the fact is that if our leadership and if we as individuals took responsibility for our words and really gave them thought before we wrote them down, before we spouted them out, I don't think that we would be here. Folks say, well, it's a matter, you can say whatever the heck you want. Yeah, I guess you can say whatever the heck you want. That's fine. But I've always talked about, you know, the fact that there are consequences what you say. And that speech and words are extremely powerful. They can move mountains if you have the right order. And the fact that people are using them so viciously and then don't think that there's that they are a conduit to something bad happening, that's shameful. And the worst part is that there's intent here. There is a wanted result here. There are, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, but there's a concerted effort to keep this dialogue as harsh and as inhuman as possible because there's money to be made. You know, while we're fighting amongst ourselves and while we're killing one another, there's a great robbery of the public coffers going on. Money that you and I, Republican or Democrat, Jew, Gentile, that we have all entrusted the wealth of a nation to, and that is being robbed by a very small section of the people that we share space with. So a lot, this is, I don't, I would like to think that a lot of the folks that listen to me are not in that they're mindful speakers, that they are not out there touting hate just for the sake of doing it, that they might get upset, that they'll have strong opinions, but they are not purposely out there trying to stoke dissent in a violent manner. And but if you know of somebody that is, I think it behooves you to say something, that it's not okay. Violence touches us all. and to some degree, we are very interconnected. And the way that technology makes things be this day and age, that we are all, you know, within an earshot of one another. We're an email, a text, a tweet away from one another. Let's be more mindful of our words. Peace.